Hanging out on Sports Talk here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert in the house, talking about some Saints football. You can chime in, Oakland Heart Jewelers, talking text line, 504-260-1870. And man, oh man, Cajun Cannon, one of the popular sentiments, I think, among Hoodat Nations right now. I'm reading one text from 8238 saying, Cajun, the ancient tank to draft the man, the myth, the legend, Arch Manning.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be like a movie. I mean, Archie Manning's grandson, the quarterback of the future Saints. Okay, but twofold.
I was waiting for you to say one of your favorites. Not so fast.
Yeah, but not so fast. I mean, he has to play first at Texas. Now, I think he's going to be outstanding. But, you know, a lot of things got to fall into place. You have to avoid injury and all that, and he has to actually do it on the field. Who has more upside right now because he has played is LSU's Nussmeier.
Get on, you know, the nuts, buzz, baby.
Dad's the coach with the Saints. He's going to be a first-round draft pick because he has skins in the wall. Now, Arch just has to play at Texas and put skins in the wall, and then we have to wait and see where the Saints would be, how they work that out to draft him. But first off, okay, he has to play at Texas.
Right.
And just talking with Archie is that the Manning family, they love college football. And now you could be compensated. So you don't need to jump to the NFL so fast. It's not like they're desperate and, you know, they're on food stamps, the Manning. So, I mean, with Arch and Cooper and all that. So I think they would wait to the right time. So I don't even think Arch is coming out next year. That would be more like the year after. Because just look at the track record. And I think he would trust his uncles and they all powwow and get together. Look how long Peyton played at Tennessee and how Eli at Ole Miss. So enjoy the college experience, I think they would tell
right,
him.
Right, he stuck around Texas for a reason, too. He could have transferred.
Yes, and that I think, and look at yours, the quarterback who was the quarterback, he didn't get drafted to the seventh round.
Right.
You know, he was disappointed. I think he's with the Dolphins now.
Quinn Ewers.
I mean, so, you know, he's under the radar. So, you know, if he was all that, five-star coming out of high school and all, and where he's at. But as far as Arch at Texas, no, I could see Arch playing at University of Texas the 2025 season and the 2026 season. So more, you're looking at more the 27 draft. Now that seems like, man, that's a long time from now. But he's not just going to come out because, you know, for financial reasons. I think he's going to enjoy the college experience like Peyton and Eli. And just talk about Archie, and then again, you're going to be evaluated what he does at the University of Texas, and you know it's a great opportunity for him. I think
you mentioned it too, that NIL money is pretty darn good right now.
Yeah, and University of Texas, you couldn't be in a better place with Steve Sarkisian, the coach and all, and the supporting cast. So I don't say, oh yeah, we're going to draft him next year if the Saints would tank or not have a good team. Well, he might not even be in the draft, so I don't see that happening. But Steve, before we get back to you know where we were, I think we were up to like October 26th. With the Buccaneers coming to town. This is why I say we got to get off to a fast start. This is good mojo here. The Cardinals have lost five consecutive games in the Superdome, and they haven't won there since 1996. So five consecutive games.
That's ancient history. Wow.
The Cardinals, they don't have a good track record in the Superdome, so we got to make it 6-0. And they also have lost three consecutive season openers. So let's make it. They've lost six in a row to the Saints in the Superdome and lose five season openers. So I think the NFL, that's a gift. You know, because you got to play somebody, NFL team. So, you know, we were 2-0 last year, had a lot of hope and unbelievable offensive performances. You know, when you look at Carolina and the Cowgirls, how that worked out. Well, the Cardinals, we should be 1-0. We should be 1-0. I don't care if we're rebuilding. And we got to have patience and all that.
See, I have more confidence in week two than week one.
With the 49ers?
Yeah, because there's a big question mark for me with that squad right now. I don't know what the Niners really look like. You mentioned it with Arizona. I think they play hard and they got a, you know, they're an up-and-coming team.
But yeah, I think the 49ers, though, they could still be, well, I think they could be a wild card team this year. The reason why I think more you look at the NFC West, you'd say the Rams right now. Well, wouldn't
that's
you say
after that Tampa game that we're at here on the schedule?
Yeah, and then you look at the Rams.
Rams are always a pain in the you know
and,
what.
And how they ended the season. Who played the Eagles better than the Rams in the snow? Truth. They had a chance to win. The Eagles won a roll. So when I look at that, I just look at it that we'll be really discouraged if we 0-1. Because, you know, it's at home, and then the 49ers come into town. So, no, it's going to be tough. But when it's really going to be tough, though, and going back to the schedule, is this 3 weeks, I don't think we're going to win a game. I mean, I think it's going to be tough. October 19 at Chicago, and you got the Bucs at home on October 26th, and you go at the Rams on November the 2nd.
Yeah, it's a rough stretch.
To me, that's, you know, you always have maybe four or five games. I look at those three games are going to be tough. But then at Carolina, hell, we got to beat Carolina come November 9th, and then you got the open date. The open date is coming at the right time. You know, you beat up and all that. November the 16th is not too early, not too late. That seems about right. And I still think that we have an opportunity to be 4-6 or 3-7 at that time. I think after 10 games, we'll have that type of record. And again, it's not like all of a sudden we're going to run the table on the back end. I'm still looking at only 6 or 7 wins. But just look at who you play and when you play, and 4-6 or 3-7 in that regard. But again, like Tampa Bay, until proven differently, it'd be an upset if we beat them one time. Now, we've played actually Tampa Bay better on the road than we have at home.
We love overtaking the pirate ship.
Yeah, so you never know. But again, another aspect. And Vegas isn't always right, but they have some rhyme or reason. You look at the over and under 5.5 wins, we only favored in one game. You know, where did I hear? I heard this. I think the Bills are the only team that's favored in every game.
Right.
Okay. Now think about that. The Buffalo Bills, I mean, they're going to win every game, but they favor in every game. We favored in 1 out of 17.
Yeah, so, just against the Jets.
Yeah, and yeah, the Jets. The Aaron Glenn, another Saints connection there. Now, that's going to be in the back end of the season. But again, it doesn't matter if you're not favored, because I still got us that we can get over that hump and win 6 or 7
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I think right now the Giants, too, they're only like a point favorite, but they are still favored.
Yeah, and that's why I said those type of teams like Giants, Jets, no. If you're going to get and over that over 5.5, those are the games you have to win.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because we're not going to all of a sudden, we're going to September 28th, week 4. Again, that would shock the NFL and win at Buffalo. You're not going to be dealing with inclement weather, a nice fall game. That'd be a good road trip. If you want to see the Bills Mafia and go and experience that, they're building a new stadium. I think they're not in their new stadium this year, but in the future. So it looks like they're not going to be the Toronto Bills. They're going to be staying in Buffalo with a new stadium, which is the right thing to do. It's America. We don't need to cross the board and go be the Toronto Bills. Now, the NFL wants to be international, but that'd be a good experience if you've never been to Buffalo, because their crowd. I remember when the Bills, when they came here, remember just right out the studio here, or right here, about Lucy's and all that in Barcadia. Remember they had a Bills party. The Bills Mafia was showing up, and well, we got spanked that game. So I don't expect much from that game coming up. But yeah, at Carolina, so we're going into the open date, 4-6 or 3-7. Well, what do you have, Steve? Somewhere around there, or
yeah, my season win total, I'm right at 7, and that's being super optimistic.
We did not even have a conversation about this.
Right.
And that's not like somebody, you know, some fans will say, like, that's always the glass half empty. Pessimistic. Oh, Hebert, there's no way they're winning 7 games. I go, no, that could happen. And it's not, what you going to brag about that? We're 7-10. You know, but it's still, they go, oh, no, they're not going to win 7 games. That I could see that happening.
That's definitely like the high, though, I think, with this team.
That's what I would think. Right now, baby steps.
Right, exactly.
You know, we got first things
first. We got hope back, I feel like. The Derek Carr retirement, I feel like Hudat's kind of, or we're celebrating after that announcement.
Well, you know, like I was saying, the Bills are the biggest challenge, but you know what's a positive? You know, always look at the glass half full. You know, the Saints have a 4-game winning streak in Buffalo.
Hey.
The last 4 times we've gone to Buffalo, the Saints have won. Now, there's different players and all that, but But, you know, always look at the history.
The trends, right.
Yeah, the trend. The last four games, we went to Buffalo. The Saints are on a four-game winning streak. And now, think about this. The Saints lost their first game in Buffalo back in 1983, but have not lost the four trips to upstate New York against the Bills. Now, the Bills, but you know what? It's going to be hard-pressed. You know what their record was last year at home? The Bills were 10-0, and they were 10-0 at home in the regular season in the playoffs last season. So that's a hostile environment. But I say, if you're a football fan and you want to take a road trip, and because I don't think Bills fans, like maybe in Philly, they wouldn't beat you up. If you're a Saints fan and you have your Saints gear, they probably invite you to tailgate. And you know, and want to show you.
Yeah, you don't hear too much about Bills Mafia being, you know, rude and you know, beating up their fans like you said. The opposing fans coming in.
Yeah, it's not like you go to a game at a Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. I remember we were playing the Eagles, and some fans went up to the game, and they go, "Well, you don't dare go to the bathroom by yourself, because then you know you might be at the urinal and all that, and so I come punch you in back the head."
Right.
Like, what? I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. What the, you know, and then if you start cheering too loud, then they throwing stuff at you.
That was even something when I first moved down here, coming to the Superdome, I was amazed on how friendly fans were. And I just grew up in the New Jersey area, so I went to a bunch of Giants, Jets games, and those fans were even rude as heck.
Yeah, yeah. The Jets fans to me were even more rude than Giants fans.
They're a lot
crankier. The Jets fans is like, I don't know, I remember. They had these 20-some-year-olds, like late 27, 28 years old, and they were a bunch of dudes, you know, not with their family. And they'd hang out by the tunnel where the team's coming out.
Yeah.
And they'd be like dog cussing, talking about your mom and your grandma and saying, you know what they're doing right now? I'm not even going to describe it. I'd be like, whoa, look at these morbid people and stuff. So
one of my first year, I think it was my first or second year on the getting to do sideline with the Saints, they played at New York. So taking the team bus into the Giants stadium, and there the fans are lined up, giving the big old middle finger, young and old coming in. I'm like, I'm home back in New Jersey. Home.
Yeah, Steve, like you're saying with the bus, like you're heading to the airport, you're leaving all that. And then when you look at it, it wouldn't be like the mom and the son. It'd be like the grandma and the grandson. So it'd be like the 8-year-old kid with the grandma, and they both giving you the one finger salute, looking at the bus and like throwing eggs at it and stuff. So.